We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to Inside Mizzou Athletics, presented by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Tiger Style Wrestling Podcast here on the Inside Mizzou Athletics Podcast Network, which is brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Shelter Insurance, for your auto, home, and life, visit your local agent or find us on the web at shelterinsurance.com. We're your shield. We're your shelter. I'm your host, Matt Manley. Joined with me, as always, Bo Bayman here in studio. And special guest today, Jaden Cox in town, doing a little training this week. What's going on, man?
Not much. Just came back to visit the fam, and in doing so, you know, come up to the room, train, lift a little bit of weights, and feel good. Stay in shape.
Absolutely, man. So, if you feel comfortable talking about it, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people out there want to know kind of, I guess, what all went down, I mean, with whatever you're comfortable sharing with us.
Well, I mean, the whole scheme of the thing was, you know, I remember that I was told the night before weigh-ins that weigh-ins were from 8 to 8:30. So I scheduled my whole day to be scheduled for that. And so I remember KJ at the time wanted to leave at 7:30. I was like, no, let's be safe. Let's leave at 7 o'clock. But the valet was really late, so we didn't end up leaving there until like 7:15-ish. So we got there like 7:25. And, you know, start going through my warm-up, getting ready, and I start drilling. All of a sudden, you know, everyone's kind of like, there's some people coming by, and they're like looking for, at the time, they were looking for Tracy Hancock. And they're like, he's like, yeah, Tracy's got to weigh in. The weigh-ins are about to end. And at that point, KJ was like, what are you talking about? Weigh-ins are from 8 to 8:30. And the guy's like, no, my weigh-ins end at 8. So basically at that point, then I start busting my butt, trying to lose some weight. And this was like with like like 3 to 5 minutes left of weigh-ins about to end. I run over, going on the scale, try to make weight. The first time I stepped on the scale was actually 0.1 over. So then we waited a little bit. And then, you know, KJ's talking with the refs. I get on the scale, I'm 96.9. So at that point, we think we're in. You know, we're good. There's no controversy at that point. Nothing happens. So a couple hours later, I'm getting ready. I'm getting my breakfast in, going throughout my day as a normal weigh-in. KJ gets a call. He leaves. I don't know what's happening. I'm thinking the day is normal. So finally, KJ's been gone forever. I don't know how long, but it's just longer than it needed to be. So I go out and I look for him. Can't find him. I run in, you know, and his wife and his kids, they're looking for him. Can't find him. Finally, we catch up to him. And basically, then I'm told that I'm out of the tournament. So I'm out of the tournament. I go and find KJ, and I'm like, hey, like, he's, you know, distraught. He's beside himself. And I'm like, hey, man, like, it's all right. Like, don't freak out. And he's, you know, apologizing to me and whatnot. And I'm like, hey, don't sweat it. Like, it's okay. And basically they were like, all right, like what do we do next? And so he was like, we're going to petition. And like there were a lot of things that were like he felt and I felt that like protocol wasn't followed. So I remember we pulled in like, well, we didn't hear the announcement, which is protocol for there to be an announcement. There wasn't an announcement made for weigh-ins to start, for weigh-ins to end. You know, we made weight. We were told we were good. We walked away. Things were fine. Then we were like, then there was even like talk afterward, you know, about, you know, well, like procedurally, how did this even come back up and what was the thing? What was going on? And then we had a petition. We went in. And the big thing for them was that I had a WhatsApp message on my phone that had been opened from March 17th. Talking about, you know, procedures of like what was gonna happen. And they said, well, it was open. And I'm like, yeah, but you know, you click on there, and if you open up, maybe I didn't open that message, but I opened up to see another message and I just didn't see that one. And basically my point of view was like, also I'm like, well, my coach is a USA Wrestling staff member, you know, and so if he tells me that the time of weigh-ins are at 8 to 8:30, what reason do I have to not believe him? And I think anyone would think that for any coach, but specifically for this case, you know, obviously I got to, you know, I want to be on the mat. This is my job. This is my living. This is my job. This is what I want to do. I have goals. I have dreams. And, you know, so I'm like, what reason do I have to not believe him for it being, you know, 8 to 8:30? And, you know, we went through the whole petition. I believe that it was fair. You know, there was Bruce and a couple other guys in there and stuff. And you know, they voted that I wouldn't wrestle, and like, you know, and I swallowed that and I accepted that. And it was like, and I think other people, you know, I think one thing that's kind of ticked me off, you know, because some people are like, you know, undisciplined and whatnot, and really have come at me on social media. In some cases they've come at my family and everything, and it's just kind of like, well, you know, like in a lot of things, it's like, take responsibility. It's just like, how much more responsibility can I take? It's my dream that's buried. I'm not going to the Olympics. I'm not climbing through any hoop. Ain't nothing changing for me, you know? And, you know, I tried everything, guys. You know, I offered to make weight at 4:30, like make weight two hours before I was supposed to weigh in and everything. I said, I wrestle all everybody that's in the bracket. Like, I do whatever. And obviously that can't happen. You know, so, like, I don't know how much more responsibility I can take than what's happening is happening. I can't change it, you know? And so, you know, I was thinking about, you know, trying to take it to court and stuff and whatnot. But from advice that I got from other legal counsel, it was just like, I'm not in this to make money. And like, that was the big thing. Like, they were like, well, if it was like a money thing and the stuff, and you want to talk about damages and everything, maybe we can talk about that. And even if you possibly have a case for making it, you know, having it ruled to where you should have wrestled anyway, because you were accepted and then not, like, even if you have that case, getting you on the mat against Snyder is more than likely not going to happen, because then they're going to file, and it was just going to become a long thing. And so it was $60,000 to get to a first ruling. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to waste my money on that. I'm not going to waste my time. I'm going to focus in on what I can control. And so as of right now, I'm going to try and go down to 92, make my world team. And actually, you know, I'm not going to say it like that, because that's not how I view things. You know, I am going to go 92. I am going to win a world title. And then after that, I am going to give up my spot at 92. I'm going to go back to 97, and I'm going to take what's rightfully mine. And I remember, and my biggest thing, like, I don't know if any of you guys were there, or if you heard, like, I took that news about as good as anybody could. You know, I was still going around smiling, taking photos, signing autographs.
I did see a lot of that on Twitter, yeah. And you posted pictures of kids and signing autographs.
Yeah.
Jaden Cox, 96.9. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, like, so, like, I don't think I could have taken it any better, you know. So my only issue when it came to what had happened at the trials was there were people who, in the light of things, when things were all good, turned their backs, literally. Like, I remember, especially, like, you know, people within the USA Wrestling organization that were like, you know, I would try to talk to and be like, hey, chop it up. You know, like, what's done is done. We can't change it. And, like, I'm a very much like, I compartmentalize things. Wrestling politics was wrestling politics. Mm-hmm. And I can compartmentalize wrestling politics away from, hey, our friendship, our bond. But in that moment, you know, when I'm coming and I'm, you know, trying to chop it up and whatnot, and literally you look at me and, like, discuss and you walk away, now it's personal. Now it's a problem. You know, now it's an issue. And, you know, I've had talks with people that at that moment in time where it came time for you to showcase everything that I was told and been preached to for the last 4 or 5 years about what that emblem represents, to in the moment where it came time for that to be shown, it wasn't. And so that's where, like, my kind of my issue came into play. Like, you know, not wrestling, it sucks, man. It's a disappointment. But also at the same time, like, I've never defined myself as a wrestler, and though it's a sucky situation, like, I'm still going to grow. I'm still going to be myself, and I'm going to carry myself in a certain way. But when it came down to how you treated me as a person, well, now that's something I can't forget. And so now my job, and I told this to KJ, I promised it to KJ, and I still trust KJ. You know, I think that, you know, it's a silly mistake, and we've talked about it, and we've chopped it up, and he, I remember he was like, why are you so calm? I'm like, because you're not. You're freaking out. You're taking all the emotion in the air right now, and, like, I want to make sure you're all good. But, like, we've talked, and, you know, I fully trust him, and I promised him. I'm like, what these people are doing and what everyone's saying on social media, they don't know what they're creating. And the monster they create today is the one they'll fear tomorrow. And I'm in this now. Like, I look KJ in his eyes, and I promised him, like, I'm going to bring the wrath of God on these people. The wrath of God. And I remember I've told a few people this, and some people tell me, like, oh, I hope you can just do it out of joy and not be spiteful or vengeful. And it's like, and I look at him, I'm like, look into my eyes. I'm not spiteful. There's no vengeance in me. I'm not even really that angry. I'm telling you this out of truth, what's going to be. I'm giving you a heads up. I'm giving you a warning. I'm allowing you to prepare for what's going to come. Because when it comes, it's not going to stop. You know, and I don't talk very much. I don't say very many things. But when it comes down to what I'm going to do and what I've set my mind to, like, it's just the way it's going to be. And I wish, you know, I need to start videotaping my workouts and my training, because, you know, even KJ's like, man, they don't know what they've done. And they don't know, but they will. They're going to learn pretty soon, and they're going to find out.
So I guess going forward, you and KJ are on great terms. He's going to continue to be your coach going forward. And
for sure. Sure. I mean, guys, people make mistakes, you know?
Yeah, like, right.
We've all done something stupid, made mistakes. And, you know, and, like, on top of that, like, I'm not even going to put everything on him. Like, hey, there's some things that I could have done to prevent this from happening in hindsight's 2020. Things happen, you know, and, you know, life isn't over. The world still goes round. And I think that's kind of the attitude that I took. And I'm a person that I tend to not freak out on things that I can't control. I don't know why. I'm really laid back. Like, I can't control anything about this. Even whenever the petition and stuff was happening, like, I can't control anything about it. I can't control people's mindsets or what happened, or if this ref did this, or what was going on here. Like, I can't control any of that. I can only control what I can control, which is why, you know, I can tell you what I'm going to do, and I can't tell you what could be or whatnot. So, and, you know, like I said, we've talked about it. He's come over to my house plenty of times, and we've talked, and, you know, I've told him not to sweat it. You know, I still believe, you know, KJ is one of the best coaches in the world. I think that he needs to, you know, I remember, like, telling him, like, just don't let this get you down. Like, I was trying to, like, pick him up. I'm like, I'm the one about to lose my dream. And I'm like, hey, man, don't let this get you down. It's okay. You know, I think the one thing that probably for me that's changed the most is that I think was, you know, this has kind of been a twofold thing. It's something I'm working on. Like, I don't want to say I've become like cold or anything, but, like, I just, like, I'm not as happy go lucky, you know? And I think that was the initial, like, reaction from how people, the treatment thing kind of happened. And so that really put in perspective of who was on my side and who had my back no matter what, you know, and who didn't. And I think at the same time, as hard as that is, it's also a blessing, because never in my life, you know, has it been more clear who stands by me and who's truly with me, who's here for all times, not just good times. And then on top of that, it's never been more clear what my path is and what it is to be. And right now, I think I told this to Bill Zadek when he called me just a week ago. I told him, you know, I'm here to destroy people's lives, though. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to take people out. I'm here to tear up the world. And it, like I said, it's not out of spite. It's not out of vengeance. It's just what will be. It's to prove to everyone what I've known, and to prove and show what's been shown in the last 2 years, that I'm the best wrestler in the world. And I truly believe that. And I'm going to do even more to showcase it.
Let me ask you this. Was one of the most frustrating parts the lack of communication, considering you thought you made weight?
I think that was probably one of the most frustrating things. I think, but at the time, I really wasn't able to think on it, really, because, you know, at the time, I was really just focused on
and his
family and stuff. Because, I mean, they're really, you know, they were brought down, you know, and so it's just like, you know, focused on them and trying to bring them up and assure them that things would be okay. And at the end of the day, guys, things are still okay. You know, the only difference in my life is that I'm not going to the Olympics, but nothing else has changed. You know, maybe I'm not going to Olympics. Maybe some dollar bills aren't coming into my bank account, you know, but overall my life wasn't going to change. My attitude wasn't going to change my desire. I mean, if anything, it fueled me, you know, everything fueled me. And like, not necessarily the not wrestling. Like I said, it was just like, it was the post everything. Like, not wrestling, it sucks. I was disappointed. Maybe I was a little upset, if I'm honest with myself, because I can't really remember. I don't remember ever being like upset, but I just knew what I was gonna do. I knew what I was gonna have to be. And you know, that was really the thing that got me. Like, the thing that got me wasn't even like being told, hey, you're not wrestling for an Olympic spot. It was the lack of acknowledgement for my existence, I think, in the people that had been all buddy buddy with me winning world titles weren't the same when my back was against the wall. And I'm not saying that in the sense of they didn't make the right choice or nothing like that. That has, like, this is excluding wrestling. Take away the wrestling. This is straight up just being how you treat someone as a human being, as a person. That's where the problem lied for me. And that's where, like, my attitude towards the wrestling and what I'm going to do really started to stir up. And because wrestling is a platform, and if we believe that to be the case, if we believe wrestling to be such a big platform and a great platform for us, especially those who are going to the Worlds and the Olympics and stuff, then that's the place where I'm going to use to be my weapon and to be my light and to, you know, showcase the mistakes of those who wanted to treat me differently.
And the good news is, I saw you walk in here, you're healthy, you're feeling good.
For sure.
I mean, that's the good news.
I mean, I feel great. I feel great.
That's good. I love that.
So I guess going forward from here, just what you said, you're going to go 92 this year,
mm-hmm.
win a world title,
mm-hmm.
2021. 2022, you're going to go up to 97? Or
yes. Okay. I'm giving up my spot again. I think I've given up my spot like 3 times now. but I'm going to give up my spot again after 92 and go back and take 97. I mean, because that's the match that I wanted. That's the match that I want. And I'm going to claim 97 for the next, you know, however many years I decide to wrestle.
So I guess what's your thought process on going 97 next year instead of this year? Is it just because didn't they pass the rule or whatever, if you medal at the way to the Olympics, that you're automatically on the world team? Is that how it is?
So that was the big thing. And so, you know, I believe in Snyder. I believe he's going to win a medal. I mean, there's no statistical reason not to. He's won a medal at every World and Olympics he's ever been to, and he's a great wrestler. So I expect him to win a medal. And so it's just like, well, let's just be prepared. And I think it would be easier for me, let's just say, God forbid, that he doesn't win a medal, that it would be easier for me to put the weight back on to go 97 than it would be to slim back down to 92.
Right. I mean, just realistically, I mean, you can't plan. I mean, to go 97 right now, and if the KC does medal, you know,
for sure,
you're gonna work all year to go 97, and then he medals, and then you don't even have a chance. So, yeah, it makes sense.
For sure. Well, and then even if the case that he makes 97, let's say he wins a medal 97, because what they did was they made it so like if you go to the Olympics, you win a medal, and you're automatically on the team for Worlds. But in order to have any chance of sitting for the next year, you have to go to Worlds.
I didn't know that.
So that was like the incentive to make people go to, because you know, some guys, you would be like, you know, hey, we're gonna go to the Olympics, win a medal, and then we're gonna give the world to somebody else. But if you give the world to somebody else and they medal, they're sitting instead. So there was that incentive of that, and so I understand that completely. But yeah, I think it's just like, I think for me, you know, it's not about the. I want to prove that I'm the best of the best, right? I want to wrestle the best. And so in order to do that, you have to beat the best, right? And for me, and in America, and a lot of people would agree with this, one of the best in the world is at 97. So I'm going 92 so I can have my shot to take on the guy at 97. And plus, you know, I want to go to Worlds. You know, I want to go and compete and face the world and everything. And no matter what the weight, but I want to face the best of the best, and that's Kyle Snyder. And that's the match I wanted. That's the match that I've been fighting for. That's the match I've been training for. That's who I want to beat.
So I guess next, two-part question: what's next for you in your journey to get the Worlds and be a world champion? And then when and where are the Worlds this year?
Heck if I know. I never know. I don't know, because it's not in front of me. I'm a day-to-day guy. But I do know that I'll be going to Warsaw in Poland. So I'll be going there. I believe I'm also going to go to the Ostrodogu, both of which I will be at 92 kilos.
That's in Russia, right?
The Ostrodogu is in Turkey.
Turkey?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was going to do some other events and whatnot, but they were all at 97, and so I was like, you know what, I want to just then focus on 92. Let's go ahead and, like, you know, start getting in shape for that and doing what we need for that, and then we'll come back to 97 when we got to focus on it. This is what I'm doing, and then the trials. I'm trying to remember when the trials will be. I think they're like, was it? I think a month after the Olympics.
Something like that. I guess for the trials process, since you're the reigning 92 champ, I mean, there hasn't been a world championships in 2 years now. Are you sitting out in the finals for that, or do you have to go? And I'm just asking that because, like Dom's wrestling in the seniors this weekend,
right,
which I believe qualifies you for the world team trials.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's something I haven't talked with KJ about. I mean, that my main focus is just getting matches in, because, honestly, I haven't really been as active as a lot of other guys have been. You know, I only had some flow matches in the America's Cup. I haven't really had as too many matches like everyone else has. And even before that, the last match I had, I think, was in February last year in Cuba. And so, you know, I need to get more matches underneath my belt, get out there under the lights and wrestle some more. And I think on top of that, like, I just need to get back on track. You know, obviously this has all been a lot. It's been a lot on me. It's been a lot on my family. It's been a lot on KJ. It's been a lot on a lot of different things. And we just need to get back on track on what we're here to do, how we're here to, you know, what are our goals? What, you know, we need to resituate ourselves and recenter ourselves around who are we, what do we do, what are we here for? And I don't know if that's necessarily a me thing, because I feel like I've done that, but I definitely need to get the people and the team around me, you know, back on track of this is what we're doing, here's how we're going to be, let's get to it.
Let me ask you this: how hard is it to get from 97 to 92? Because I know I couldn't do it.
Have you heard? Level Next, the largest college esports league, and Psyonix, makers of Rocket League, are looking for the best college Rocket League team in the country with the Level Next Rocket League Spring Showcase. $125,000 in cash is on the line. Rep your school and compete for glory. It's free and open to all college students. Registration begins May 4th and games start May 10th. Assemble your crew and sign up fast at levelnextesports.com. That's levelnextesports.com.
It's actually not too bad at all.
From 178 to 177.
It's actually not too bad at all. Honestly, staying at 97 is probably harder. Getting up to 97 was probably harder than it will be to get down to 92, because it was just so much eating. And for the longest time, you know, like, I sweat so much. Sometimes I'd walk into practice at, you know, 210, mm-hmm. and, you know, I've eaten, I've drank everything, and I go back and I leave and I'm like 200 pounds, you know. So it was hard, because I was very, you know, originally going 92, the original plan was to go back down to 86. And I really think we could have done it. But then I remember we had a meeting one time with KJ, and he was just asking me, like, what's our point of really doing this? And, like, it was like to be the best. And he's like, all right, then why not go 97 and face the best? If you statistically look at it on paper, Kyle Snyder is statistically better than David Taylor when it comes to world championships and senior level competition. He has more medals. He's won more golds. He has an Olympic gold medal. There's no reason to go back down. And so I was like, you're right. And plus, on top of that, the pound for pound best wrestlers at 97. And, you know, I thought about it more. It's just like, it's not often every day we get to test ourselves again, you know, to the best of the best, mm-hmm. against the best of the best, and to the best of our ability. And so to have that opportunity, you know, it's such a short lifespan. It's awesome. It's amazing. So it's like, we need to take this. You're right. This is the time. And, you know, obviously I was wrong on the time in multiple facets. And so, you know, it's, you know, but now it's like, you know, the blessing is, it's like, I can still have another shot. I want to come back and I want to take what's mine. I'm going to prove it again. And I'm gonna, you know, do what's best for me and my family, and, you know, and I think that what's best for me and my family is to not shy away from, you know, the goals you set in front of, you know, yourself, no matter what people got to say or anything. So I look forward to it. I think KJ's excited for it. You know, I'm kind of on this boat of, like, you know, this is where we're going, and you got to hop on.
Yep. Well, you talk about, you know, you're excited for it, and we know that you have Missouri fans excited for you. I'm sort of changing the subject here, but how excited were you for that announcement last week and finding out that Missouri is going back to the Big 12?
You want my honest opinion?
Yeah.
I was a little envious. I was a little envious. Well, because, like, I grew up watching Mizzou in the Big 12. So, you know, as a kid, you know, you just think about, you know, hey, I want to win a Big 12 championship. I want a Big 12 championship. And then there was that whole time when, and Maley, I think, were you here at the time when they were switching from the Big 12?
So I had just signed my letter of intent as a senior, and then they came out in the spring saying that they were switching to the Big 12.
Mm.
So when I got here in June, I don't think we had a conference yet.
Yeah, because they were going to the SEC still.
Well, yeah, but I don't think we got into the MAC until July. Because they announced in the spring when we were leaving the Big 12 that they were going to the SEC. But obviously, that's not for us.
Well, I was worried because when they announced the SEC, like, I was afraid that wrestling was going to drop.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I was like, well, what does that mean? You know, and you know, Smith assured me later on that, you know, hey, nothing, we're not losing wrestling. We're just going to find a new home and everything. And so we went to the MAC, and obviously, the MAC is great, but, like, I was envious because, you know, I remember the last year at Mizzou in the Big 12 before we left to go to the MAC. I remember watching them and all of our hopes of winning the Big 12 championship coming down to the heavyweight match between Iowa State and Oklahoma State.
Yep.
And we needed Iowa State to win.
Pulled the upset. That's right.
And he did. He pulled the upset, and, like, and they won. You know, Mizzou wins the Big 12 before leaving. You know, it's kind of like one of, like, the perfect endings. Like, oh, we're leaving. Bye. We're taking the trophy, never giving it back. Don't cry about it. So, like, when they announced it, like, obviously I'm excited because I believe, you know, iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
And I believe that the Big 12 is a tougher conference. And you have a lot bigger, you know, named schools with a lot more talent. And so I think that that's just going to better Mizzou. And I think everyone should be excited for it. And, like, I'm excited for it. Like I said, I was envious of it. I was like, man, I want a Big 12 title. You know, that sounds cool. But, you know, I'm excited for them to have this opportunity. And they should look forward to it. I think, if anything, that old school, like, Mizzou, you know, pride, you know, that's kind of like what I envision, you know, because when you think of the Big 12, you're talking about where our in Mizzou's history, our legends were made in the Big 12.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you talk about the Max Askrens, the Ben Askrens, the Matt Pels, you know, the Raymond Jordans, and you know, shoot, I'm blanking on his name.
Woodley, Ellis.
Woodley, but no, the Waters. Ellis, Waters, but you're also talking about, gosh, the fighter. What am I doing? Not Ben, the other one, the shorter one.
Chandler.
Chandler, yeah. Talking about Chandler.
Got a big fight going on.
Yeah, it's like you're talking about Chandler. I watched his first one. That was a wicked, I think it was a left hook, I think. He was cracked that dude. You know, that's where, when you talk about the history of Mizzou, as far as when we actually put ourselves on the map and when we were becoming something, I mean, that's our era, right? That's where we were. So, like, that old school Mizzou pride definitely gets lifted up. So, I hope, and I know that Smith is preparing these guys, but, like, I hope they realize, like, these guys know who you are. Mm-hmm. They know what to expect. You know, you still got you know, you, John Smith, like a lot of old rivalries, you know, with Oklahoma State, Iowa State, like all of that's encompassed in this. So you're going into hostile territory, and they know who you are. They understand. They have nightmares just about us. And so, you know, they're going to bring it. And that, honestly, for me, that's exciting. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about it for multiple reasons, you know. One being the level of competition has stepped up, you know. The MAC, like you said, and like Coach Smith has said many a times, the MAC was a fantastic conference for us and did a lot of great things for us. You know, we had some of our best years in the MAC, but it just has kind of seemed, you know, in the last few years that when you duel a MAC team, their spirits were kind of broken. It almost felt like before the duel started.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're a Power 5 school. We really didn't belong in the MAC. And being back at the Big 12, I mean, like you said, these teams are coming for you every single duel. I mean, they think they can win before every duel starts. Yep. I mean, you're talking from the bottom up, Northern Iowa, you know, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Northern Colorado. I mean, the lower-tier teams in the Big 12, where it differs from the MAC, all the lower-tier teams in the Big 12, your Northern Colorados, your Air Force, your Fresno States,
they still have guys.
Yeah. They all qualified multiple guys for the tournament. And I was just talking to another former alumni yesterday, and he was like, man, I think it's going to be tougher to qualify guys in the Big 12. And it's a tougher conference, but with the tougher conference, you know, comes more spots. We're going to have six, seven, eight spots out of 12, you know, going back to the Big 12, whereas in the MAC, you know, you got to take first, second, third out of 14 or 15 guys.
Yeah.
So you slip up one time, you have a perfect season. You slip up one time and lose a match and you get third place and they only take one spot. Yeah. Guess what? You're on the outside looking in, waiting for a wild card. And, you know, I just don't think we're going to have to worry about that, you know, as much or if at all in the Big 12. And especially not for these couple of next years where, man, I mean, we're still just an absolutely loaded team.
Yeah. But
even, you know, down the road, if we have a team, you know, that maybe would only qualify eight or nine guys, you know, that 10th guy or 9th or 10th guy has a better shot of sliding in there at 5th or 6th place and getting an automatic bid. And I think it helps us out a lot for that. And then lastly, I think to the casual fan, it appeals a lot more.
Sure.
I was talking to a guy yesterday in my neighborhood, and he was like, man, Mizzou back to the Big 12. And I was like, man, that's awesome. Like, didn't know you were a wrestling fan. And he was like, yeah, you know, he was an alumni here. He used to swim here. But no one knows. The casual fan doesn't really know much about the MAC.
Right.
And so that's where I think going back to the Big 12 helps us. They know all the teams, or at least most of the teams in the Big 12. You know, maybe not the affiliates, but I think that helps us out as well.
I think the other thing is when you talk about iron sharpens iron, the Big 12 tournament compared to the MAC tournament going into the national tournament is going to help these guys. Because you get, it's almost a dress rehearsal. Yeah, you want to win the Big 12 title, obviously, but you want to make sure you get that spot and do something good the next 2 weeks. And so, to me, the tougher competition in the Big 12 is going to lead to better results in the NCAA tournament. Am I wrong?
I think so. I think you're right.
I don't think he's wrong at all. I think that he's, you know, you're right on the money with that. Like, you know, and I think even more so than that, like, when we were in the MAC, a lot of times, our tough duels that we would wrestle were against the, you know, OSUs, right. Oklahomas. Well, now you're going to get to face these guys. You know, you're going to have this tough schedule as far as duels. And on top of that, you're going to see these guys again, you know, at the Big 12. And so I think overall, you know, it's going to teach these guys to have that, you know, I got to be ready every week mentality. They can't take a week off here or there. There's not going to be time to lose focus. And also, I also think that another big thing that moving to the Big 12 is going to do for Mizzou is bring more recruits back from the keeping yep. kids in the Midwest. We're not going to be spreading out as much. I think that it's going to be awesome, and I think that's going to bring more attention, especially from other states within the Midwest. You know, so we're going to be able to keep kids in here, whether it's in state or just in Midwest in general, and we're going to be able to become a powerhouse. And I remember I went to this camp. It was in Iowa. And, you know, they asked me, like, what was the difference between, wrestling from, the East Coast, Midwest to the West Coast, right? And I said, like, I don't know from East to West, really. But, like, I just know this. The biggest difference from the Midwest to those guys is, like, we're just dogs, right? we're just dogs. We can adapt to any situation. You want to scramble, we can scramble. You want to be technical, we can be technical. You want to get rough, we can get rougher. We're adaptable. We can do everything, And not every place can do that. Some people, you want to wrestle from space, you can wrestle from space. Some people have to wrestle from space. They can't switch it up. Some people have to hand fight. They can't do it, And from the Midwest, I've always felt that, like, I've just seen such diversity in styles that we can wrestle with anyone from anywhere. And on top of that, we're just tough. We're up for the grind and the fight. So I'm really excited to see what comes of it. And, I'm excited to see, who's next to really step in. I think a lot of dreams have been reopened with the Big 12, coming back into our lives. And so it's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. Well, we were going to preview the first 5 weeks of the Big 12, but I think we're going to save that for next week. We got to get out of here, practice pretty soon. But before we do, we've got UWW Juniors this weekend. We're leaving tomorrow. Nice. And Dom is wrestling in the seniors, like I said earlier. We're taking a pretty good crew. We're taking 11 juniors, plus Dom and the seniors. I wish we don't have all 10 weights filled. We're doubled up at a couple. There's 10 weights. We've got Noah Certain at 57 kilos, Trey Crawford 61 kilos, Josh Edmond and Precious Essien at 65 kilos. We don't have a 70-kilo guy. Keegan O'Toole is a 70-kilo champ in the fall at the U-20s, but he's moving up 74 kilos. Ellis Fleegers at 79 kilos. Colton Hawks and Dwayne Villopondo are 86, going up to 92 kilos, your weight. Rocky, he's the reigning runner-up at 92 kilos, so he's looking to claim that top spot.
Sure.
And then we've got Seth Nitzel at 97 kilos and Stephen Kolchev at heavyweight. So we're taking a really tough team up there. And I think our entire team is expecting to, I don't know if they give away a team title, but we're expecting to win. And we're expecting to put a couple guys on the junior world team.
Mm.
And then Dom, of course, he's looking to get some revenge. I know he's not happy with his performance at the Olympic trials.
No. He wasn't happy with the rest performance.
He wasn't happy with
that. It was
bad.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was atrocious. I mean, I know you said we got to go, but like there were a couple of reffing instances, and Dom was just one of in the case, but the reffing at the trials was a little bit rough in some for some people, and it's something we definitely need to clean up. But I mean, what I've been impressed with Dom, he's a prime example of just having a willingness to learn and grow. I mean, he's nowhere near the same wrestler he was, however many years ago, and just evolving in his technique. And it's just like, how the mindset you have to do it for as long as he has and to still be like a massive threat. Like, that's not surprising me that he's a massive threat, but he's just such a massive threat. And so I'm excited to see him, come out here and have a little, having this extra little bit of fire underneath him from what happened at trials. I'm excited to see what he's going to do.
Yeah, he was training hard before trials, obviously.
For sure.
that call, I mean, it's comparable to, like, your fire I could see in you right now from being torqued at your situation. I mean, his situation's obviously not the same degree, but he's been training with a different fire since the Olympic team trials. And, man, I'm excited to hopefully see him be on the team with you. And
that would be
sweet. That would be really, really awesome.
I'd be down with that. I'd always be down with that. I love Dom.
Well, awesome, man. I'm glad we got you back in this week, and thanks for sharing your story. I'm sure that cleared up a lot of things for a lot of Mizzou fans. I've been getting a bunch of texts, and, you know, what's going on, Jaden? I'm like, man, I don't know.
Oh, trust me, man. Hey, you guys think you've been getting texts. Man. My social media has been blowing up. It's been blowing up so much. I think my only message is this. Like, I'm going to look at you right now. I'm coming, all right? I'm coming, and I'm going to tell you, like, you guys are going to have fun, but there's a lot of people they're not going to have fun with the things I'm about to do. The world is going to burn from how bad I'm going to destroy it. So let's have some fun.
We've got the UWW Juniors coming up this weekend. You guys can follow along. You can watch live on Flow Wrestling. You can keep up with us at Tiger Style WC on Twitter. We'll be tweeting out results. And then I think it's going to be on Track Wrestling as well. So stay up to date with that. Until next time, this is Jaden Cox, 92 and 97 kilos. Stay ready. This is Tiger Style.
This has been Inside Mizzou Athletics on the Tiger Network. Brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.